RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I am really happy to be joined by our next guest. He has been speaking a lot to the money and the financial agreement between the Chiefs and the state of Kansas. So I want to have him on and ask questions and learn more about it. He is Dave Helling with the Kansas City Star. Dave, how are you doing? Happy holidays.
Pretty good, Carrington. Thanks for having me on. I've hit the big time.
Absolutely. So, Dave, let's just start with this. I'm sure by now you've read the 33-page term sheet agreement between Kansas and the Chiefs. What were your big findings in reading that?
Well, it's a pretty complicated document, and there's a pretty complicated mechanism for actually buying the land and building this stadium in Kansas. One of the things your listeners should know is that it's not final. The 33-page document says, in the first couple of paragraphs, hey, we've still got details to work out. And until we work them out, this thing isn't finished. And then it proceeds to explain how the mechanisms will work. So that's an important thing to know, that they're still working on parts of this. And then the other things that I noticed were, of course, government ownership of the stadium. That means the Chiefs won't have to pay property taxes on that facility, and they're going to try and figure out a way not to pay property taxes on the facility in Olathe, the practice facility and headquarters. You know, the mechanism for star bonds, how that works, who will issue them and when. That was in the 33-page document. And then the other important thing your listeners should know, the cities and counties involved are also going to be asked to kick in some money as well from their sales taxes. That hasn't been finalized at all, and the agreement, the term sheet, outlines how that needs to still take place. And then, of course, just to finalize, it also had the famous, the now notorious district map, which showed who would be on the hook for these sales taxes to pay off the bonds, and it includes most, if not all, of Wyandotte County and about half of Johnson County. And I tweeted that out about an hour after the announcement, and it so far it has 730,000 views on Twitter. So people are interested in how this is going to work and how much money, if any, they're going to pay for it.
Right now, we're talking to Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star. We're going through some of the financials of the agreement right now between the Chiefs and the state of Kansas. You mentioned how in the first couple pages of this agreement, it says, hey, this deal is not final. I've seen some reporting that the state of Missouri could get back into this thing. Is there any reason to believe that Kansas and the Chiefs won't finalize this deal and that the Chiefs won't be in Wyandotte County in 2031?
No. Now, the Chiefs in Wyandotte County, that's a separate issue, in part because there could always be construction delays or financing delays. Although, to be frank, it's hard to imagine the Chiefs going back to Jackson County and saying, hey, we're leaving, but we need another couple of years at Arrowhead to make it work. But I don't think there's any possibility at all that Missouri would get back into the discussions for an extension on that side of state line. In the first place, they're furious about what has happened, and the state of Missouri particularly is going to be angry about it. And second, it's just impossible, really, for Missouri to match what Kansas has done for the teams. So I think that, they're going to spend the next couple of months negotiating the details. And then once that's over and they get a final document that describes all the conditions, then the Chiefs will buy or lease the land over on the Wyandotte County side. They'll transfer it to the government entity that will be created to oversee all of this. And then we'll be off and running. So I don't think that Missourians should take some solace in the idea that it isn't finished yet. It's just very, very hard to see how Missouri would come up with anything matching Kansas, or that, Kansas would backtrack having made this announcement.
A lot of people have commented on this being a bad deal for the state. And my open yesterday was, this is the agreement that American cities have made to have NFL teams. And people can be mad and frustrated about it. But if you want the Chiefs, if you want the Royals, if you want to have professional sports in your city, it largely requires you to kind of reach one of these agreements with the team in order to have it. So I understand if the terms don't seem super favorable to the state of Kansas, but I also don't think that Kansas has a lot of leverage in this situation. You have an opportunity to have an NFL team. You are the smallest state that would have an NFL team. You are going to have to give up a substantial amount of money to take them.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm away from Missouri.
Yeah, I think all of that is true, and I would add one other thing. I think that there is a case to be made for this agreement to Carrington. It's too bad that Governor Laura Kelly and the Chiefs don't know how to make that case, because they've said things like, oh, it's no tax increase, and which is silly, but the case is that Jackson County and Missourians broadly and Kansas Cityans have carried the freight for two professional sports franchises for half a century, almost by themselves. And it is probably time for Kansas to pick up the burden of at least one of those franchises, maybe for the next 30 or 40 years. I mean, Kansans, who of course enjoy the Royals and Chiefs, have been getting off scot-free, really, scot-free is an exaggeration, but they certainly haven't paid as much as Jackson Countyans and Kansas Cityans and Missourians for those teams since, the 1970s. So the case is that it's Kansas' turn. And I wrote a column the day after the vote failed in April of 24, saying maybe it was time for the Chiefs to look at Kansas for that exact reason. So you're exactly right, though, to say that this is the price of poker, particularly in cities like Kansas City or Minneapolis or Cleveland or Indianapolis or some of the middle cities in professional sports leagues. You know, Los Angeles can support a couple of stadiums, or have people wealthy enough to build them out of their own pockets. But that just isn't the case here. So that's the case for it. Now, is this the best deal Kansas could have gotten? We'll have to wait for that judgment. I mean, because it's so hard to know what the Chiefs would have settled for in the end. They're going to get every dime they can get, and they got a lot of dimes, let me tell you, this deal. So we'll have to see how that shakes out, how the bonds are issued, whether the cities and counties join in participating in the bond setup, how the stadium is built. One of the things I tweeted about today, and this is an interesting wrinkle that I haven't seen reported on, is, as you know, in Jackson County ends get preference for playoff tickets and season tickets and for the Royals, too. That preference is written into the current lease. But we've heard no talk about that in Wyandotte County or Johnson County. So my guess is that goes on the table as well, whether there will be some sort of ticket preference for those residents because of their support. But the case for me has been that Kansas has basically been a free rider for a long time. And you can make the case that this agreement finally puts them on the hook for some of the cost of having the pro franchises that we both enjoy.
Right now, we're joined by Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star. We're talking about the money portion of the Chiefs moving over to Wyandotte County and the deal between the state and the team. Dave, I want to go back to something you said. You called it silly, where the governor is saying that this is not a tax increase. Why did you use the term silly?
Well, because, first of all, it's foregoing future tax revenues for at least 20 years. Now, just think for a minute how much money that involves and how that money might be used in Kansas in another way. And that has to be made up somehow. If you said, I've used this analogy before, but if you said, hey, I'm Kansas, I figured out a way to buy cotton candy for every person in America without raising taxes, your first reaction would be, well, isn't there something better to spend it on than cotton candy, even without a tax increase? So the tax part of it is less important than the spending part of it, which will be easily, when you include interest, $3 billion by the time it's over. That is a lot of money coming from the pockets of taxpayers, even if there's not a tax increase involved. Remember, the April 2024 vote also did not include a tax increase for the Chiefs and Royals. It just extended an existing tax. And there was a great debate at the time whether that meant a tax increase or not. But the more fundamental thing is public spending for a stadium, for a sports franchise. That's what we need to focus on, and not whether there is some accounting trick to make it look like there's no cost to citizens when there clearly is.
Dave, one of the wonders of my job is I can just spout off my opinion. And I love talking to people like you because you're a Big J journalist. You've been doing this a long time. That's why I got a lot of respect for you. I don't think that the Chiefs ever wanted the vote to pass in Missouri. I felt like their entire renovation plan was really, really half-assed. And then when I now find out that they have been working with Olta behind the scenes for 2 years from this practice facility, I think they were always positioning themselves to go over to the state of Kansas. Is that how you view this? Do you kind of view this as this was always the plan for the Chiefs, that they were always going to take the money and run to Kansas?
Yeah, you may be more convinced of that than I am. First of all, you talked about, Carrington, how long I've worked on this story. I produced a one-hour primetime special for Channel 4 in Kansas City on the Chiefs and Royals stadiums in 1988. So that's how long I've been following the story, whatever that math would be, and the twists and turns, which fascinate me as a political reporter. But I don't think I think it has been and was well known that the Chiefs were looking for a new practice facility and a new headquarters separate from either an improved stadium or a new stadium. So it doesn't surprise me that they had been talking with Olathe for a couple of years, irrespective of what decision they were going to make on the stadium. Now, when Missouri put its incentive offer on the table, Missouri said, hey, look, if we give you this money for a new or improved stadium, you have to build your new headquarters and practice facility in Missouri. And at that point, I think it sort of forced the Chiefs' hand because they really wanted to go into Johnson County potentially for this adjacent facility. So I don't think they're completely linked, but you're right to be suspicious. The April 24 vote was just really a disaster, wasn't it? Because it was on the Chiefs' part, half thought out, rushed. It didn't really add anything to the discussion. And then the Royals' decision to build in Crossroads at the last minute really angered a lot of people. And I think Kansas Cityans and Jackson Countyans are ready to help support franchises. And they understand, as you pointed out, this is just what you have to do to play poker. But they don't want to endorse half-thought-out, half-realized plans. And the both teams in 24 just weren't ready. So I don't think that they always wanted to go to Kansas. But when that vote happened and then the Missouri package came up, I think that sort of pushed them closer to whatever Kansas could offer. And then, of course, Kansas came in with this unique tool that can really put a lot of money in their pockets.
Dave, I'm so happy you said that because I led the show with this yesterday. I still firmly believe if the Royals at spring training come to the people of Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson County with a solid and clear vision for downtown baseball, I think people would rally around it, especially now after knowing that the Chiefs are going to move. You want to keep one of the teams on this side of state line. I think you could really capture people's imagination. But you're right. At almost every single turn, it felt like the Royals just tripped over themselves and couldn't accurately communicate what their vision is. They now have had 2 years to think about this thing. The next time that they talk to the Kansas City public and the next time they talk to Jackson County, if they have all their ducks in a row, I still firmly believe that people will support their vision.
Yeah, I agree with that. And trust me, there were conversations had 2 years ago with officials in the Chiefs and the Royals organizations telling them they had to be more transparent about what they were doing. And for whatever reason, they just weren't. That's not how politics works in any city in America in the 2020s. You have to be upfront and clear with the public, or they'll just say no. And it's exactly what happened in 2024. And I've been disappointed, frankly, with the lack of transparency since then. But I think there's still a chance for the Royals to do something special. And I do think Missouri will be potentially very aggressive in trying to keep the team on the Missouri side. Having said that, I think Laura Kelly missed a real opportunity at the announcement for the Chiefs to say, in essence, this is it. We're not going to bid for the Royals anymore. This really is far out on the limb as we want to get, and the Royals should make their deal with Missouri. That would cut the cost to Missourians and maybe ease some of the hurt feelings that people now have about the way this was handled. And, as you know, the opposition to the Kansas site for the Royals is growing daily from residences and business owners at 119th and Knoll, who are saying, you know, we just don't want a big baseball stadium in this location. So she didn't do that. And I think that was a missed opportunity. But I think it's and by the way, the informal deadline for reaching a deal with the Royals for Star Bonds is tomorrow, December 31st. Now, that's an informal deadline, but it's the deadline the Chiefs faced as well. So if we don't hear anything today or tomorrow about the Royals going to Kansas, it's possible that any deal in Kansas will be off the table anyway. So I think Missouri is still very much in the running for the Royals. I've said for a long time, I still like the East Village site. I think that the need to attract East Side residents to baseball games is important. One of the sites I talked about, which has never been really examined to a great degree, is over by Lowe's Hotel and the Performing Arts Center near the West Side, where, you know, we have so many Latino players now on the Royals that would help draw a Latino audience. But you are hearing 18th and Vine. You do hear Washington Square Park, north of the river. All of those seem pretty valid opportunities. Just quickly, your listeners should know, if the Royals stay in Missouri, the local government is required to participate in some way, some tax abatement, participation in the package, unlike in Kansas, where local participation is optional. So there will likely be, if they stay in Missouri, another vote either in North Kansas City or Kansas City or Jackson County for the Royal Stadium. And if they're going to do that in April of next year, by the way, they have to get it on the ballot in the next 4 or 5 weeks. So the time frame is crunching, and we should know more about the baseball team within the next 2 to 3 weeks, it seems to me.
Right now, we're talking to Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star, going through all of the possibilities of where the Royals could potentially land. Dave, I always thought the East Village made the most sense for the Kansas City Royals. Why did that deal never come together? And I don't feel like it's ever really been discussed. It feels like right now we are arguing between three locations. 119th and all, which I'm with you, I just don't think is a very good location for them. I'm not wild about the Clay County idea as well, but you could sell me on it. The vision for the Royals is downtown baseball. It is just always made the most sense, but I don't really feel like there's been a lot of traction there. What happened to the East Village idea?
Well, I'm retired now, Carrington, so my journalism is a little bit suspect on this part of the story. But what I was always told was that the East Village fell out of favor because the Royals, as you may know, talked a lot about a surrounding baseball village to the new stadium with hotels and restaurants and bars. And they were going to make some of their money from the development around the stadium. And it was my understanding that the Cordish Company, which runs the Power and Light District, was not real excited about having a competing entertainment district just 6 blocks away. That was also their concern about the Crossroads site, by the way, which is, we don't want to have more apartments and more hotels and more bars. Now, the Cordish people never confirmed that, but that was the understanding that circulated among the people I talked to, that it was opposition from Cordish early on that caused the Royals and the city to move away from the East Village site. I still think that's the best place to put it, frankly, but if they go downtown, but they're not listening to me very much.
Dave, I don't know if you're a gambling man. If you had to offer up a prediction, where do you think the Royals' future home is going to be?
Well, I think it's Missouri. I mean, I'm not a gambling man, but if I had money to bet, I'd bet on Missouri. I think Missouri will be much more aggressive to put the agreement to paper with the Royals. And frankly, I think Kansas is less aggressive. I think Kansas always targeted the Chiefs. They just, for a lot of reasons, probably preferred pro football to pro baseball. I think one of the discussions early on was to put the Royal Stadium out where the Chiefs, in essence, will go, and that, for whatever reason, fell off the radar. So I think it's more likely than not Missouri. I think it's going to be complicated to get there because there are a lot of financial tools that need to be ironed out and figured out before that happens. And the calendar is getting short. I mean, if you want to be out by 2031, which the Royals do, and next year is 2026, you're not going to have a lot of time to mess around before you have to put pen to paper and start laying bricks. So I think in the next 4 to 6 weeks, we'll see some clarity. I still think it's Missouri. If I had to guess, I think it's downtown Kansas City in the Jackson County area. But that seems less certain to me than the Clay County option. But I think the Royals are beginning to understand that if they want to build at 119th and Knoll, they're going to face some pretty serious opposition, a lukewarm state of Kansas, difficulty on that site. I just think there are more hurdles there than they've admitted.
I told Mayor Lucas this when he came on the show after the announcement. I think you saw a lot of this. Like, a lot of people are disappointed. And you know this as somebody who's covered politics and sports in this region for a long time. Like, people's identity is tied up into whether you grew up on the Missouri side or the Kansas side. Sure, we are all from one metro, but it's just different. And it's hard to explain it to people who are not from this area. If the Royals end up moving to Kansas too, people who are from Kansas City will be broken in a way that I'm not sure if the politicians fully understand. So to everything that you're saying, I think it now becomes imperative. If you are Mayor Quentin Lucas, this will be on your resume and there's nothing you will be able to do about it. But you have a chance to still salvage this thing, and you have a chance to be the person who brought the Royals downtown. You were never going to do anything about the Chiefs, in my opinion. But if the Royals go to 119th and all, the people of Kansas City and Jackson County, they will be broken beyond repair, in my mind.
Well, that's pretty aggressive, Carrington, but it will be a severe blow. Now, whether Quentin Lucas bears the blame is an interesting question, because Of course, the deals the teams have now are with the county, not the city. The city really isn't involved other than to send a couple of million dollars a year to the maintenance fund. But having said that, though, you're right on the politics of it. People will probably blame Quentin Lucas, certainly more than maybe Frank White, who they kicked out of office, or Phil Lavota. So I think I think the mayor will work hard to try and put a deal together. There are facilities and mechanisms that would allow it to happen. Missouri is at the table in terms of a significant financial package for the Royals, and the Royals have much more of an impact financially on a community than the Chiefs do. The Chiefs play 10 games a year. You know, the Royals play 81 games at their stadium. So that's more money for the bars and restaurants and hotels than the Chiefs could ever generate. The Chiefs, you know, about 800,000 people a year go to those games. That's about a third of how many attend the Royals in a good year. So when they play well. So I just think all the arrows point to downtown Kansas City, Missouri. I could be dead wrong. Have me on in 2 weeks, and I'll have to admit that I was way off base. But I think that seems to me more likely than the alternative, which is 119th and all, and another $2 billion in star bonds, and another press conference, and another explanation from both sides about what happened.
That is Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star joining us on the show. Dave, I'm really big on giving people their flowers. As journalism is changing, we need more people like you in the way that you conduct yourself and the way that you have reported on this. It was really, really an honor to have you join us on the show today to tell us what you know. Tell us what you think.
No, it's great. And let me just throw this in quickly. I'm fully retired. I write a little bit for the Kansas City Star, but I'm not with the Kansas City Star anymore. I don't want them to get mad at me, but I did work there for about 20 years. And as I say, I've covered this issue for 40 years in this community. And it's such an important story because you're right. This is how we identify ourselves. And it's how, Carrington, we come together. There are very few things left that unify our community as much as the Chiefs and Royals. And so what happens to them is at the top of the agenda as far as I'm concerned.
That is Dave Helling joining us on the show today. Dave, happy holidays. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. You too. You too.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.